you mean either the either or the either? I told you we're out of Phoenix now. Okay, alright!
Hi, you're listening to MageCast, the ensemble podcast by the well-read mage and a cast of mages. Each episode, I sit down with my rotating panel of guests to have some civil discourse about a single game. We're a group of games writers dedicated to long-form content and critique. You can find us on WordPress at thewellreadmage.com, on Twitter at thewellreadmage, and on YouTube. Crowdfunding support makes projects like MageCast possible. If you enjoy our work, written or otherwise, you can check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/thewellreadmage for more information on exclusives, rewards, and our vision for a future of better games writing and a friendlier gaming community. Links are in the description. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and share MageCast with your fellow adventurers. Leave us a review, too. Oh, and now let's start the show. Hey, welcome to MageCast. I am the well-read mage, a.k.a. Moses Rocks Norton. And today, I am joined by the founding members of TWRM. Well, a couple of them, at least. And they're so handsome, I wish you could see them. But you know what? This is a podcast, not a YouTube video. So, gentlemen, if you'd introduce yourself. I don't remember the order that you introduced yourself last time, but I think you went first.
Let's let him go first.
Okay, you can go first.
All right. My name is Cameron. I'm the Timely Mage.
And what are you playing right now?
Right now, I'm playing No Man's Sky like I was last time.
Yeah, you couldn't just play that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I have 250-hour save file right now, so yeah.
250 hours.
Yep.
I put that much into Final Fantasy 12.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Which, yeah.
250, wow. On 12?
Yeah, on 12. I just grinding.
I put 400 hours.
I can see that.
It's Metal Gear Solid 5.
How much?
400 hours.
On replays.
Well, yeah.
Unless you're just standing there.
No, I plan on that game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I count 400 because I did 200 on the PS3 save, and then when I got it for PS4, I did another 200.
Hmm.
To platinum it.
Yeah, that was a fun platinum.
I know. So fun.
So just No Man's Sky right now.
Anything
you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Spider-Man coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. I'm not a Marvel guy, but I want to play that.
Right, yeah. Same year. But that one looks really good.
Yeah, no, it looks good. Yeah, I know you're a DC guy. That's why I invited you to my house.
You're way more of a DC guy than I am. I'm more open-minded than you.
You guys both are DC guys, all right?
That's true. Cameron's wearing a Batman shirt.
Yeah.
Have you introduced yourself yet? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did.
No, you did, yeah.
I guess I should introduce myself now. Hello, I am Armando Garcia, also known as the Black Humor Mage. Currently, right now, I am playing A Link to the Past.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have it on my 3DS, and since I'm in college, that's I can always just carry it around with me.
Oh my gosh. Is that your first time playing that game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So widely received as, the best Zelda ever. Not in my opinion, but standard, definitely, 2D Zelda.
Yeah.
No, that's a great game. And super long, too, for an SNES game. You're you think you beat it, and then it's guess what? There's a dark world. And you're I need to go home. I already introduced myself, but I'm playing, I just finished The Frozen Wilds, which was fan-friggin-tastic. Very good game. Looking forward to reviewing it. It did what I think few games do for me personally, which is it got me excited for the sequel, Horizon Zero Midday or whatever they decide to call it. But that's a stupid joke. But I liked how it set up all these Gaia protocols or whatever are going rogue. Mm-hmm. So you have Hephaestus and Hades and stuff like that. And I was that'd be cool if you had a pantheon mm-hmm. of rogue AI in the other one to make it super villain stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But today we're not. Oh, and then so I finished Frozen Wilds, and then I started Octopath Traveler, which is gorgeous. Really gorgeous. And somebody was I'll see you in 2 months.
after I started playing that game. I was like, yeah, I can see that. Like, 8 playable characters in an RPG, eight paths that you can take. You can create a party based on any of those 8. So, like, you start with one character, and then you go around the world finding other characters, but in any order you like. So I asked on Twitter, I was like, well, what order should I take? And they're like, well, just pick, follow your heart. I was like, well, I have to have a heart first. But what I decided to do was I noticed that the character's first initials spell out the word octopath in a certain order. I was like, well, I feel like the universe is telling me to play it like that. So that's what I did. But today we're not talking about either of those games. We're not talking about Octopath Traveler or Frozen Wilds or No Man's Sky, although that's coming someday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be awesome. It should be awesome to do a podcast about No Man's Sky and you're the only one who's played it.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Right, actually, I do plan to play it, though.
Yeah,
I really want to play it and make a ship called the Bebop.
Yeah.
But you can only make aliens as, like, custom characters.
You can only make aliens?
Yeah.
No, you have, like, an astronaut-looking character.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be Spike.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Gasps in Spanish. Okay, so we're going to do Alien Isolation. That's the game that we're talking about today in this episode entitled Perfect Organism. So Alien Isolation, the three of us have played it. It was released in 2014. It was published, surprisingly, by Sega, which I think is surprising, because what do you think of when you think of Sega?
Aladdin.
Sonic.
Sega's Aladdin, which is better, the Super Nintendo version or the Genesis version?
I played neither, so.
I played Genesis. Actually, I
played. You played Genesis?
Yeah.
You're a Genesis guy.
Yeah, I'm a Genesis.
That's like saying you're a Marvel guy in my house. Just kidding. But it doesn't matter. That was ancient history. I had my tattoos removed. Nintendo for life. So it's okay. The console wars are over, ladies and gentlemen. The console wars are ended. But yeah, what I think of when I think of Sega, I think of Sonic the Hedgehog, obviously, and Streets of Rage, which I really like Streets of Rage a lot.
Mm.
So I remember when I got this game and I was like, oh, Sega, that's weird. But they published it, you know, and so on. And it's not the quintessential Sega game, but it's a great game. So wanted to open up talking about actually the premise of this game. Now, Armando, I know that you are an Alien fan, right?
Yeah.
Safe to say?
Yeah, it's safe to say.
Yeah. How many times have you seen the first movie?
Probably like 4 or 5 times, I think.
Okay. I remember the time we watched it at your house, and we planned ahead of time to scream really loud in that scene when the captain is in the air ducts, and he turns around and the xenomorph is right there. And we did, and the girls like flipped out. That was really hilarious. Yeah, good times. You were there in spirit, Cameron.
Yeah. You could hear my scream.
Yeah. So
Cameron just screams it.
But before we talk game premise, one of the questions that I received on Twitter from Fritztalgia was, does this game do justice to the Alien mythos? So let's talk for a bit about the Alien franchise. Have you guys seen all the movies?
No.
I've seen Alien, Aliens, the third one.
Resurrection?
Is that Resurrection?
That's the fourth one. Have you seen it?
I've never seen that one. I've seen... What's that one called? I already forgot the name of it. Prometheus.
Prometheus, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen Prometheus.
Have you seen Covenant?
I never saw Covenant.
Okay. I might be the only person who's seen all these. What about you?
Yeah, no, I've only seen the first one. And, you know, I didn't really grow up with that series. So I, you know, even though I say I saw the first one, it was in bits and pieces, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really remember much of it. You know, so the one that's more fresh in my mind is Prometheus.
Okay.
Which is, probably the least relevant one here.
Yeah, right. You watch it, they're like, where's the aliens?
Yeah.
So I've seen Alien, Aliens, which if you've not seen Aliens, we need to have a movie night after we watch.
That's a great action
Blade
movie.
Runner. Blade Runner.
Would you? He invited me over to watch Blade Runner 2049.
Thank you. You guys watch that?
No. But you guys we're planning to.
Oh, yeah. Please invite me to that.
All right.
We'll invite you in the middle of the week. You're like,
I'm at school. Yeah. Middle of the week might be better for me. My work schedule's like all on the weekends. So.
Oh, okay. All right. That's,
have you seen it? Or?
Yeah, I've seen Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049. Yeah. I just love it so much.
Yeah,
so after that, we'll watch Aliens. Because, yeah, I like the sequel a lot. Not as much as the first one. I don't know. I wiffle waffle on that. But anyways, I've seen the first one, the second one, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, Alien versus Predator. I've seen the first one, Alien versus Predator. I don't even know how many of those there are. Like, too many. Like, Land Before Time, too many.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Prometheus, and then I've seen Alien Covenant, which is like a half... It's like half Prometheus and half Alien. It's a Franken movie, and it's just like, I don't know. I didn't care for it. I thought it was just gross watching it. Like, there's a scene where, like, an alien pops out of a guy's nose instead of, like, the stomach. I was like, that's just gross. That's just really gross. Like, no, like, it wasn't, like, scary. It was just like, I feel like throwing up my popcorn and my Kit Kat bar.
You buy popcorn when you go to the movies?
And my Hershey's chocolate bar and my Skittles and my M&M's.
You buy all that?
Yeah. So anyway, so getting back to this game, does this game fit into the alien mythos?
Well, I guess on a technical level it does, because it like takes place like what, like 10, 15 years like after the first Alien movie? So it does, but does it stay true to it? I think so, because I mean it's just... It still, like, captures the atmosphere of, like, the first one. And then, like, you know, the second half of the game, like, kind of captures the half of the second one as well, I would say. You know, it's a lot more action-oriented. You get the flamethrower, and you burn, like, the eggs and all that. And so, like, there's, like, a lot it pulls from, like, different aspects of the different movies. But mainly it's just, like, I feel like it's just trying to recreate the experience of like the first movie where like you feel like that tension and that suspense.
Yeah, I agree. And it definitely feels most like the first movie, which is, I think, to its benefit. You follow a character that's related to a character in the first movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Amanda.
Remember?
Yeah.
I can say it.
Amanda Ripley, the daughter of Ellen Ripley. Yeah, that's, you know, after the events of the first movie, like, her mom is just gone. Because, yeah, the first movie, it ends with her, like, just, like, going into, like, cryostasis.
In the escape pod.
In the escape pod. And so, like, she has no idea where her mom's at. And so, like, it's just her goal to try to find her mom. And in the process, she just kind of picks up this hitchhiker. What was that from Mage-splaining?
That YouTube video we did? I can't remember what it was. It was funny, whatever it was, maybe.
But yeah, it's just, it's about, like, so Amanda Ripley's just kind of, what would you call it? Like, the successor to, like, her mother, Ellen Ripley. And so, you know, they're quite alike, you know, in the sense that, like, they're both, like, pretty crafty. And they're survivors, like, for sure. Like, you know, they try sailing, like, the Xenomorph is a survivor. But, like, so is, like, you know, the Ripleys as well.
Is this a feminist film?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, film. Is this a feminist game?
Feminist game. If it's just, like, the woman's, like, in place, if you can consider that, like, a feminist, like, just having, like, a woman and, like, be the main character, I guess, by those terms, yeah.
In that sense, yeah.
And it's empowering. Yeah, I mean, it's not, yeah. I mean, there's nothing, like, very sexual about, like, Amanda Ripley either, and so.
Right. And, the Xenomorph is genderless, right? Because it's not a queen Xenomorph. But I think that most people would think of the Xenomorph as feminine. I always have, for some reason.
I always think it's more male. Well, because I think of the queen as the female.
Right.
And then I think of the just the normal ones as like the males.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, but anyway. So that's the premise of the game, right? Is your Ellen Ripley's daughter trying to find her mother again. On, what was the name of the ship? The Sevastopol, right? So she goes there, and of course, there is this giant, hideous monster on board. The Xenomorph. probably the scariest monster in film that I can think of. What about you guys? I mean, like, what are some really scary movie monsters?
I watched A Quiet Place recently, and it had a similar feel, I think, to Aliens. I don't really watch too many horror movies, though. It's not really my genre.
But shtick. Yeah. So we're going to talk about horror
a little bit. I don't watch too much horror movies either, but I think... in terms, I think of like what scares me the most are like things that are kind of like grounded in real life. So like the scariest things to me are like serial killers, because that's just that's possible.
Yeah,
and like
so like a lot of the X-Files is pretty scary.
Yeah,
because even though there's like supernatural elements,
yeah, like so supernatural stuff. I mean, yeah, those stuff is terrifying. But then after all, I'm just like, that can't happen.
Yeah,
and I think about the alien. I'm like, what if? What if that's out there?
Yeah. Like a silicon life form just like out to get you. So what is so scary about this thing, though? I mean, like, I've got all these pictures scattered out. We're actually talking about this one that's under your phone here, Cameron, the beige-looking one there. That one is really disturbing. I think that there's a variety of reasons why H.R. Giger's creation is so scary. One of the things for me is because you can't see where it's looking, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, its face is just like this giant mouth. And then also just how humanoid it is, but still alien at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, that picture is just really creepy. And all this stuff of like the laying eggs in the mouth and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, its functionality. And then I think also, like you said, it's humanoid and alien, but it, as opposed to like a zombie that's humanoid, but they don't have intelligence. Mm-hmm. This is very intelligent creature.
Yeah.
So it has that feralness of an alien, you know, species, but then it also has, you know, being able to stand upright and, you know, similar features to us that, it makes us want to relate to it a little bit and makes it feel like it resembles some of our intelligence. Yeah,
that's interesting. The standing upright thing is something that you're like, it's so close to being human.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is what makes a lot of things creepy, when they're humanoid but there's something off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
like Uncanny Valley, like mannequins and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I'm still creeped out at mannequins. Unless it's like the super non-humanoid ones where like their arms are just like lopped off and there's no head and stuff like that. But if I'm walking around and there's like a mannequin and they painted eyes on there, I'll walk the other way. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna deal with that. I got enough anxiety in my life as it is.
I think, the reason it's so scary is just because, how humanoid it is, it's like... like an elongated like person, like with like claws and like, do you remember when I sent you that picture of the xenomorph? And like, I saw something on the internet where it was like, the xenomorph becomes 10 times scarier when you realize that like its face is just like a human skull. And so like they showed like in the props department where like they kind of like peeled back the layer of like the xenomorph, like a husk, I guess you could say, of like the face. And yeah, it's just like a human skull with like the back part of like, you know, how like its head is all long.
Yeah.
It's just like a human skull in the front. And that became like infinitely more terrifying to me.
Yeah. It's just like, it's underneath that like transparent.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so like, it's just like a human that's just like mutated into like this like grotesque like creature.
Yeah. So another thing that I think is extremely terrifying about Alien and the xenomorphs, is all the phallic imagery and the reproductive themes. I can't remember who said it, if it was the director or not, that Alien is about the masculine fear of pregnancy and childbirth, which, Cameron, you've got how many kids?
Four.
Four? Oh. Is that a astute thing?
I can understand, I mean, it's a really weird, uncomfortable feeling of being a man and feeling, and just that thought of, having something like that, done to you, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, So I've got half as many kids as you. So I haven't gone through as much of the trauma. But my first child, obviously, I was there at the birth.
In I hope so.
In the 50s, where I'm outside pacing with a cigar.
Smoking.
Yeah. Like giving cigars to all the people in the thing. Because it's like hospitals now. I don't think they'd be like, oh, yeah, cigars. That's cool. But I watched and almost passed out because there was a lot of blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was... it's kind of gross to open a podcast with this talk, but it's alien. Sorry, kids. But it was just really, really shocking of an experience. And having a child is such a moving experience at the same time. Like, I cried when he was out and, like, I saw my wife holding him and they cleaned him up and then I held him. But to just... Like, and they're like, and now you can cut the umbilical cord. And I'm just like, cut it for me. So I think some of that biological body horror, even. How's it going, Mike?
All right.
Hey.
You want me to whistle you a tune?
Yeah, go ahead.
Whistle Dixie.
Yeah, what is it? Whistle Dixie. Oh, there he did it on the spot.
That's actually really good. We should keep that in here.
Wait, it's just him whistling. Ladies and gentlemen, my stepdad, Michael Cicilline.
Okay, all right. You get the point.
So anyway, like body horror. Alien is body horror.
Yeah.
You know, like John Carpenter's The Thing. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Have you seen that? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a scary movie. Okay. The xenomorph is not the scariest monster that I can think of. The thing is this shape-shifting alien. But they did all this with practical effects, like the shape-shifting. Mm-hmm. And it is the best practical effects I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah,
like, to where, like, the dog scene is super disturbing. It's like it's shape-shifted into a husky. And then it basically has to absorb genetic data or whatever into order to keep shape-shifting. So it gets locked in this kennel with all the other dogs. And, like, when it activates, like, its head splits open. Mm-hmm. And, like, tentacles start coming out of its body and, like, grabbing the other dogs. And I'm like, I don't know how they did that.
Man, yeah.
Like, it's, yeah. So practical effects, one of the best things about the movie Alien. Body horror, one of the scariest things about the xenomorph. But we're not talking about just the movie. We're talking about the game. So the game is survival horror, which means it's spooky.
Ooh.
Ooh. And also means that you craft all kinds of weaponry and items and that sort of thing. So now, survival horror as a genre, I think, has changed over time, like genres do. I haven't played too many other examples. The Last of Us counts as a survival horror, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Resident Evil games.
If you Resident Evil.
Played those.
So right. So the comparison that I was thinking of with Resident Evil is there's the emphasis still on accumulating a limited amount of items, and that's the survival aspect. But I think that's more action based than Alien Isolation, which has a heavy stealth mechanic, where you're just supposed to hide all the time. And I think that the hiding is what makes this game real scary.
Yeah.
So, because think about, so we talked about Alien Isolation in the context of the films, but what about Alien Isolation in the context of other Alien video games?
Alien video games?
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of too many other Alien video games I've played.
Yeah, I haven't really. I don't think I've.
Have you guys played Colonial Marines?
No.
That's notoriously bad.
Yeah.
I found it at a thrift store for like $2, and I was like, I'll buy that.
Just mechanically, it's like a bad game.
Right.
We don't have to talk about it.
No, we're not. But it's sort of like the black backdrop that makes Alien Isolation shine brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've got, there's that game. You've got Alien 3, which was NES and Super Nintendo, I think, and I didn't care for it. And then you've got the beat-em-up Alien versus Predator, which was by Capcom in the 90s. But I think that all of those games are more based on aliens than Alien.
Because it's easier to make action.
Right. Well,
it always has been to make action-oriented video games. And I think till now, we're like, to the point where we're at with video games, like, we could be more immersive. And so it's a much more genuine experience in that sense. I can't imagine trying to make this type of game in, like, the PS2 era where you'd probably, like, watch it, like, in third person or something. And just, like, not feel as much of the tension. But because you're in first person and you're, like, sneaking around and, like, you have, like, all the lighting effects and the noises and all that. And you're, like, hiding in, like there's, like, little cabinets and, like, lockers and all that, and, like, behind walls and all that. It adds so much more to that experience of that you're there and you're hiding from this, like, creature that all it does is just kill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Would this game have been less scary if it was third person?
I think it would have,
yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Would you play it on VR?
I want to try it, to be honest, but I'm
you would?
Not, would try it.
I wouldn't.
I don't know if I'd play the whole game, but...
No, okay. So let me rephrase that question. Would you play this entire game on VR?
I don't think I could. Like, I think my eyes would hurt, like, after
a while. Yeah, it's a pretty long game, which is one of the criticisms against it, but I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I played this game in the dark with headphones on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I put on headphones too at certain points.
Yeah. And it was quite scary.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that in a second, though. So,
survival horror.
Right. And I think then in the context of other Alien games, this is definitely more of an Alien rather than an Aliens-focused game with its emphasis on stealth. The Last of Us, though, is one that just popped in my head earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have it written down, but that game is pretty scary, too.
Yeah.
Which one?
The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, person. And they share similar mechanics that add to that, you know, with the limited resources. And
crafting.
The crafting and the risk-reward. So there's a lot of similarities between those two.
Yeah, so I think probably the main difference, though, between Last of Us and Alien Isolation would be you can't kill the alien.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like avoidance, like pure avoidance.
Yeah.
You can scare it off with the flamethrower for a limited time, but I think that's it. And I think that element of you're not blowing through bugs, you have to not engage this creature, is something that makes Alien Isolation unique. Now, again, the three of us haven't played too many survival horror, but I think that not killing the enemy is not a standard feature. That's a double negative.
A triple negative.
A triple So I think that most survival horror games, you have to kill something. A zombie or whatever.
It's pretty hard to kill. I mean, if you think of like Resident Evil...
Right, like seven headshots.
Yeah, like it's hard to kill. Like, you just pretty much just rather avoid it almost, go around it. But you can kill it.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, undefeatable.
Yeah, in Alien Isolation, you can't kill
it. You can't kill it.
No.
No.
Yeah. So speaking of features, gameplay, mechanics, I know we wanted to talk mechanics. We had a dear friend on Twitter, PlayJack, who asked, among several questions... are there any fresh game mechanics? So getting into mechanics for a little bit, I don't know what you would say this is a mechanic, what I want to say here, but the simple principle, something that we touched on in the first episode of MageCast, was the less is more concept. But in terms of this game, I think it's the alien reveal. So how long would you say it takes to finally reveal the xenomorph in Alien Isolation?
Probably, like, about an hour. I'm not sure, because, like, I kind of feel like they do the reveal, like, two times. Like, there's one time where it just kind of drops down from, like, the ducts. You kind of see it, but then it just, like, walks away. And then you don't see it, and then it comes back, like, a few minutes later.
Seems like...
Into that office, and then, like, I think the office is, like, the big reveal.
Yeah. And then the big showpiece... is definitely that scene right before the fire, where it drops down in front of like a tower and there's a light right behind it, and you can just see it like center shot. But I appreciate that this game waits a long time to show you the monster. that's the best thing in any horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Jaws, Bruce, the shark. It takes, the end of the movie to see the whole thing, right? Where it's popping out of the water and eating that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember his name. But so that idea of in horror of withholding the monster and letting your imagination kind of play out. And like, obviously everybody sort of already knows what the xenomorph looks like, but that's not the point. The point is, I think, that you feel its presence rather than you knowing where it is. Mechanically, though, what did you want to touch on? I know that the mechanics were on the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think mechanics, you know, they chose, you know, a lot of really good mechanics that, you know, you'll maybe see a little bit and maybe manifested differently in other horror games, but not, you know, like we said, I haven't played a whole lot of them, but you know, just the use of each one to build suspense, you know, was perfect. You know, like, you have limited ammunition, that makes you want to conserve, but, you know, to conserve your method of survival in the face of something, you know, in the face of, you know, what you're, you know, this indomitable monster that's in front of you, you know, that really creates this tension between you wanting to survive, but wanting to, you know, right now versus wanting to survive, you know, a few minutes from now. And, you know, so that ammo conservation, limited resources, you know, also one thing that they don't do too much nowadays is the manual saves. That makes it also think of your...
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
The telephones, actually. Yeah.
That is, yeah. So I'm smiling so hard right now. I think manual saves as a deliberate feature
mm-hmm.
is such a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it makes it so that an encounter with the xenomorph is so tense because you don't want to die and lose,
yep.
you know, some of your thing. But anyway, I interrupted you.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, so that's definitely, you know, like you said, there works perfectly, you know, and I think that that's, I can't remember if you said this during the recording or not, but how you can create horror in a game versus like in a movie. I think, you know, that's one of the ways that you can feel that tension, because, you know, you have, as a player, you know, you're always conscious of your last checkpoint or whatever. And so, yeah, the fear of losing that, losing your time and
right.
having to go through it again.
Right. And, yeah, so I think that was something that we were just chit-chatting about.
Yeah.
Which was, what are some unique ways that a game can be scary and build tension
mm-hmm.
versus a film or a book or music, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, scary soundtracks.
That probably, you know, plays into some of the ones that we had mentioned so far. And then, and I think another way, too, is the mechanic of tracking the alien. The risk-reward there, where you use a scanner, it makes noise and it makes him easier to track you, but you're able to track him. So, you know, it's just a constant play of tension of what do I want to, you know, how much risk do I want to take and to be able to, you know, satisfy this need to be able to know where the alien's at or to progress to the next area, you know, so.
And it's so fast.
Yeah.
The alien is so fast.
Right.
There are times when I felt like it was cheating. I was just like, how are you on the other side of the room right now? Obviously, it takes the ducks, but you lose it on your scanner all the time.
Yeah.
And so whipping out your scanner for like a second, just whoop, real fast, feels like you're at school and you're like checking your cell phone so the teacher doesn't see you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a really interesting risk-reward mechanic where, yeah, even because it doesn't give you something concrete. Knowing where the alien is just something to sate your anxiety.
Right, exactly.
You know, just to be like, okay, all right, it's over there. I'm good. I can, you know, crouch run for a bit right here.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some other mechanics, though?
One of the other major ones that sticks out to me was the puzzles that they have in there. like, and specifically, like, how you need to do that. You need to solve these puzzles that are skill-based in a way. You know, they require timing or, you know, some logic. They have to figure something out to be able to progress to the next area. And, you know, when you're – but you're in an exposed, vulnerable state at that point, so – having that anxiety of like, oh man, I really need to do this. That makes you, that tension and anxiety makes it harder to be able to fulfill those, skill-based puzzles.
Right. So kind of harder to concentrate. That's a good point. It's almost like a hidden timer,
mm-hmm.
right? Cause most
yeah.
in like some action games, you'll have like, you know, punch in these numbers, but there'll be a timer flashing.
Yeah.
And it's like a timer. What is a timer? Yeah. But in this, it's like the timer is you're going to get jumped and like see like a horrifying cutscene of like the alien murdering
you. And then the ambiguity of that timer is what creates the most tension because you, right. you don't know when he's going to, you know, it could be a second from now. It could be, you could have maybe a, you know, a brief period of,
yeah.
you know, like 15 seconds.
And then you just hear as it gets closer. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I got it, got it, got it. Yeah. So yeah, lots of screaming. You know, no wonder this is like a favorite for, or was a favorite for like YouTubers to do. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think I screamed, but I did inside a lot.
So let's talk about like the AI of like the humans, because aliens not the only enemy in the game. You know, there's also the human beings and the Working Joes,
right?
The, like the androids,
Working Joes. Is that what they were called?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. And, well, regardless, but the droids.
The droids, yeah. yeah. So I mean, those. I mean, obviously they follow like a pattern, like most like, you know, video games, and you know, they're not too hard to get through, and. They're not too scary. I mean, the scariest thing on bottom is, like, the fact that if you engage one, you just, like, run out of, like, stuff to fight the alien with.
Yeah.
And so you gotta, like, pick your battles, like, very carefully yeah, with them.
I did actually think the droids were pretty scary.
Yeah, actually, yeah, because how powerful they are. Because I think, yeah, because you could kill them in one hit with, like, the baton thing. And if you did it, but like those are so hard to find that if you're not gonna like waste those like,
yeah.
like willy nilly,
right?
And so, like, but like, yeah, just trying to shoot it. The flamethrower, you don't ever want to use
no,
that
because
you
course.
Need that for the alien,
yeah. That's
but sometimes you gotta,
thing
yeah,
for the alien,
yeah. And so, like, you don't ever want to use that, but sometimes to like take out a working Joe, you gotta do it. And but with the alien, its AI is like unpredictable, like on purpose, like this thing just. It moves like an animal, because it's, you know, it's an animal, and it moves around, and it's not. I think that's the best part is that it's not following like a pattern within the
right,
room,
like a movement pattern.
Yeah, it's yeah. not following a pattern or anything. It's just like looking around, and like it picks up, like the AI picks up on any noises you make, and it'll follow that noise. And if it stops hearing, it just kind of turns around, and then you're kind of safe again.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if you keep making more and more noise and until it just finds you,
right.
that's the scary part. Like, it's like a living, breathing thing you're, like, right. in a room with.
And it's like it kind of learns, too.
Because, yeah.
you know, you could distract it with, you know, you'd throw an item or something.
Oh,
like
the noisemakers.
Make a noise, and then it'll go, like, you'll see it, like, drop down and, like, walk up to it. But the next couple times, it's not going to fall for that again.
Yeah.
And that is, like, a really creepy mechanic in this game that
yeah.
like the thing learned, and you're just like, well dang it.
Yeah.
But like the closest thing I can think of to that is in Arkham City, there is a boss fight with Mr. Freeze. And have you played Arkham City?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can't remember. It's
no.
you that haven't,
no,
right?
Haven't.
And you're wearing a Batman shirt, too. But anyway, there's the Mr. Freeze fight, and you have to think of, like, multiple ways to take him down, because the same one won't work twice. It was a really cool way to highlight Batman's different attacks and takedowns.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play it on, like, the really hard mode, then it's like you have to use every single trick you have.
Yeah, so, yeah, like Arkham City, you just kind of run out of tricks with the alien, you know, it's really cool when, like, an AI, like, learns from you, because it just, like, again, it feels, like, more organic. It's a very organic experience, and it's not, everyone's experience is going to be the same, you know, or, I mean, everyone's experience will be different with the alien, because of how unpredictable it is. You're not going to find ways to, like, you know, get around its pattern or anything, because it just kind of follows around and does whatever it wants.
Even it seemed like in multiple playthroughs, or dying and restarting the same section, it did different things. You know, like you would think, okay, I'm starting off, the alien is in this spot, it's going to move to the left, and it doesn't. And you're like, okay, so there's a level of like randomness to its movement. Like you said, unpredictability. One of the best enemy AIs I've seen in a video game, for a while, it's the sole antagonist, so it has to be. But I was surprised at what it could do, you know? Like, follow you into an elevator. There was a time when, so you can hide in the air ducts, right? And they're, you know, climb in. And those horrible sphincter gates were like an air duct. Yeah, it's all loud. I constantly thought it was the alien hissing. Yeah. You know, that, yeah. And so it would, I would back into a corner and not realize there was a gate opening behind me. And I would think, oh, I'm dead. And you just turn around, it's one of those stupid gates. But so I climbed in a small air duct. It was only yay big. But it was big enough for me to get inside and the gates to close. And then I was so surprised to see the gate in front of me open and the alien standing right there, and it reaches in and pulls me out and kills me. And I was like, that's a shock.
Yeah.
I didn't think it could do that. You know,
or the game constantly surprises you with them. That's what I love about it.
Right. You sort of expect that, like, when you're hiding in the locker, in a locker, rather. Mm-hmm. And you have to hold your breath and stuff like that. Oh, which reminds me.
Another mechanic.
Well, yeah, that's a mechanic. But do you remember how – well, yeah. Do you remember that you could turn on the microphone on your PS4 and sounds that you make in the room – can be heard by the alien?
I never use that.
Yeah, I never use that either.
But when I heard about them, I'm like, what?
That's I don't even know what to say.
It's like, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
I wouldn't survive in my house. It's always,
no,
like,
I know, with kids running around. Yeah, that's for like people with like a separate gaming room and right. stuff like that. But imagine like having to hold your breath.
Yeah.
In the locker, I'd just pass out. I can't even hold my breath. Or you sneeze and the alien's. Yeah. Like, that's terrifying. So that's the alien AI, which I think we can all agree is a great feature on this game. I'd be excited to play a sequel just to face that foe again, even dial it up even more, make it smarter, faster, stronger, all that. But
better, faster, stronger.
Yep. That's like a commercial, right?
No, it's Daft Punk.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you remember that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of music, though, and atmosphere.
Great segue.
I did want to talk about the atmosphere of this game. Atmosphere is so important to that first Alien movie. And that's one of the things that they really nailed for this game, I think. But why is that?
For me, it's just the accuracy of like the sound design. I mean, the sound design is just very careful and it's accurate because there's you know, you're inside this big space station and there's like machines like hissing and like moving, and like if they're far away, like it sounds far away. Like the air ducts, like the way they open and hiss, sounds like just like the alien. And like the way you move and just everything about like the sound, and then the music too is like fantastic. It's like, you know, it sounds just like, you know, it came just from the films themselves,
right? And it did use, you know, finding a quote here from an interview that they were able to use the key themes from the original Jerry Goldsmith score, and obviously they had to build on that, but having that as the center of this game, I think, is what makes it feel so authentic.
Right, that's what makes the authenticity of just having, it feels like the movie, you know, it has the sound of the alien movie, and, you know, they have, like, these screeching, like, violins, and, like, you know, just kind of like a hair, like, of playing, almost, and I don't know, it's just hard to describe, because it's just, like groaning, like, sounds, and it's, like, space, and you just, the void and all that, and yeah, there's so much going on with the sound. And if you wear headphones, you're just like completely like just within that environment that you're in, and you hear all the steps that you make, and like you hear all the noises, and like, can the alien hear this too?
And yeah.
And like the sounds that like your what was that? The little
Your scanner
makes, so you just pull it like, that, and it makes the noises, and like that's like the only thing you hear too, but like everything's like quiet at the same time as well.
Right. There's a lot of like small atmospheric sounds, and hearing all that, if there was a game that was an advocate for playing games with your headphones on, this is that game. It's so overwhelmingly realistic in that sense. Just little tinny noises, things shuffling across the floor, and of course the sound of the xenomorph crawling in the air ducts above your head is something you definitely have to be attuned to. Otherwise it's going to get you and you'll never sleep again. Also, I think with the atmosphere, a big part is the visuals. And I was struck by the loading screens right away. It's very rare that you see like, oh, that's a great loading screen.
Yeah.
Right? But this game got some great loading screens because they use that weird VHS aesthetic where the scan lines and it's blurry and shaky and stuff like that. And that really makes you feel like this game takes place in the same era as the first game. So that's kind of a problem with like Prometheus, right? Prometheus feels more futuristic.
And it's a prequel.
Right.
Just like the Star Wars like prequels, like everything feels way more futuristic.
Right. Now you kind of think, okay, well, maybe there's like a decline in technology because the loss of, you know, the Republic and all that in Star Wars, but they don't really have an excuse for it in Prometheus, though.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, the technology is more advanced than it was in the vision of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think that preserving that feel, that analog feel from the 70s is something that really makes Alien Isolation feel really tangible.
Yeah.
And present, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That lo-fi tech is, you know, choosing to stick with that was, you know, genius. And then, like you said, all the audio texture of the whole environment is, you know, it's like another character in the game. It's, you know, it's got its own, so pivotal to the experience. I think that, you know, there's a few games that really make sound design as the core, one of the core you know, pillars of the game, as far as you know, making it where it's integral to the gameplay and visuals, going back to that as well. It's a beautiful game, by any standard, but you know, like it's just bringing that authenticity back to the original Alien movie was great. And then there's a, you know, charm to that aesthetic that you don't get when you have that clean, futuristic feel.
Yeah, everything feels like dirty and like
grungy,
like lived in.
Yeah, know. Yeah.
And that makes it also feel more grounded and more, you know, it makes it feel more visceral. And, so I think that also adds to the, you know, powerful the aesthetic is of the game and the design and the visual design.
For me, like the lighting, like especially too, like I mean, lighting is like super important to like the film and to the game, like because in film, like half of like what you see on screen and like what gives it like its distinct feeling is lighting, and so you have like that sparse like lighting, and it's used, you know, when lighting is used carefully, like you don't use it too much and you don't use it too little, but you use it like in certain areas, like when you're walking through the game. And, like, there's, like, some offices that might have the lights on, but the hallway doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And you just kind of feel, like, the glow coming from, like, another room or something. Or you're inside of a dark room, and you're, like, looking at, like a computer screen panel with, like, the puzzles and all that. You just kind of feel, like, the red, like, the neon light, like, kind of, like, hit, like, almost, like, if you're looking at the TV and, like, the red light just kind of, and you're in the dark like that, it feels like you're looking at the screen and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, like, with the... like the floor, like sometimes you look at the floors, like it's like linoleum, and you could like totally tell, like like that looks real, like the light, she's like hitting it just right, and so like it's used masterfully, the lighting in this game, and it just looks fantastic to me.
Yeah, no, that is a really good point on the lighting. Sometimes you play a game and you're like, this is too dark, I can't see anything.
Yeah,
and then you go back and you mess with the brightness, and then you hit a cutscene, you're like, everything looks washed out. Then you go back and you drop the brightness. Now, this was a game that I felt they had that balance done real well. To where when you're in a duct, when you're in a dark area, you feel like that darkness is your ally.
They think the darkness is your ally.
Don't. Like the rest of the time as Bane.
And then I will break you.
But anyway, Bane cast? I just found my new life's aspiration.
Banecast.
A Banecast.
You're just like, thank you for tuning into the Banecast.
Anyways, gosh, what was I even talking about? Oh, yeah. So it felt like the darkness was appropriate in that you could hide in it, you know, and you didn't feel like it was a barrier to playing the game. Sometimes lighting is a barrier to playing the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And then even then, though, like the... yeah, like the light sources in that game, I think was, you know, extremely powerful for the ambient that they're going for. You know, throughout a lot of it, the lights are out in you know, the space station or the ship. What was it?
The space station?
Yes. It's a space
station. Sevastopol, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then, you know, but the sun is, you know, coming through, you know, the sun rays are coming through like the windows, and so it lights up a section, or you know, like, you know, so just having that you know, the light source, you know, you still get that light, but it's not, it's directed in a way where it you know, definitely enhances that atmosphere.
You have diverse like light sources,
right? Yeah.
And like, you know, you have light coming from like, you know, just the fixtures in the ceiling, mm-hmm. and then you have it coming from the sun, like from computer screens, like monitors, yeah. and like fire that like kind of burns out of like the like the pipes or whatever.
Yeah.
And like might light up the room, and so yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So before we get into some of our experiences, favorite experiences, scariest experiences with this game, I wanted to touch briefly on why people play horror games. I know a lot of people who enjoy horror, and I do to an extent. There's some that I feel like are just like really over the top, and then it becomes off-putting, where it's just like shock value. But I think that there's an addictiveness to the adrenaline rush of being scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's why people go on roller coasters and go through haunted houses and things like that. But watching like a scary movie for the first time, or playing a game like this, it becomes like, this is a game I wanted to play as I was playing it. So that when I shut it off, or, you know, when I had a day where I wasn't playing, I was like, I really want to play Alien Isolation. But it's like, why? Why torture yourself?
The rush.
The rush, yeah. the rush of adrenaline is like a super strong thing with this game. And especially so earlier we were talking, chit-chatting about jump scares. And this game doesn't have too many jump scares, I don't think. It certainly doesn't just rely on jump scares.
Mm-hmm. No, just mostly when the alien just kind of gets you.
Yeah.
And even then, sometimes you just see it coming, and then you're just like, ah, well, and then
yeah,
you just
yeah, let it kill but it's you. Just terrifying to look at, oh, you yeah. know? Like we talked about earlier. But so Pixel Meditation on Twitter mentioned this game is pure stress, and it kind of is. It's a really stressful game.
Oh yeah.
It's not like a game like you guys do this all the time, because you're chill dudes, you know, where I'm sure you just like turn on a game and just relax, you know,
mm-hmm.
like an RPG or something beautiful and just relax to it. For me, that's like a farming sim. I just go on Facebook and was like,
that's No Man's Sky right now.
Yeah, give me Farmville.
Yeah,
just Farmville. Kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, No Man's Sky. Octopath Traveler for me right now is at the end of the day. I'll just be like,
I'm
you know
playing
what?
Through Dark Souls. So no.
Yeah, Dark Souls is not like a relaxing game, I'm sit sure, back at all.
And
sit back and die. But this game is not a sit back and relax game.
No.
Like, it's an edgier seat kind of a game.
Yeah, you're
and right. I think that's probably what goes into the criticism towards the game being too long. I think it wears on you a bit at times, where you're just like, I really want this game to kind of, you know, end.
Yeah, you know, or so give me a breathing point.
Right, yeah.
There's a couple points in the game where you can take a breather,
mm-hmm.
You know, where you meet up with some humans, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
This game would be bleak if it had no other humans that you could sort of comrade with.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
they all die pretty fast, though.
Or they do, but at least you get that, like, oh, thank goodness I'm not the only person.
Yeah.
And then they die. You're like, oh, I am the only person. But
I mean, for me, like, yeah, that experience. I mean, I played this, like, over the summer. At, like, night every day. So it's just, like sweaty nights of just, like, playing.
Sweaty nights.
Yeah. Sweaty summer nights. Bringing them back.
You hear, like, a saxophone in the background. Sweaty nights.
There you go. Yeah, that's what this game was, you know, just, like, at the edge of my bed with the headphones on, playing this game, like, sweating.
And
like,
no clothes
on. At nighttime. Minimal clothes on.
Minimal clothes on.
And then just, like, I don't know why I enjoyed that. It's just, yeah. It's, like, the stress, but then you're, like, it's a rush, man.
Yeah.
It's the rush, and just everything looks so cool in that game. But as to why I like that, I don't know. Like, why does anyone like horror? You just kind of like the rush. I mean, to me, horror has a face, and you must make a friend of horror. Horror and moral terror are your friends. If they are not, then they are enemies to be feared. So horror, it just becomes your friend, I guess. That might be it, I think.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I think, yeah. So there's an element of the, like, I want to see something. Like, why do people watch graphic YouTube videos? Of, like, here's a...
Like,
here's
live
a,
leak stuff?
Yeah, like, here's a video that. Of, like, a guy falling off his motorbike off a skyscraper. And you're like, oh, show me that. You know? There's an element, I think, to human nature that, like, wants to be wowed.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to see something gross and something, like, super dramatic and has that shock value, and I think that's where horror comes in and why people love it and why there's so much of it. Like earlier we were talking about streaming services, Netflix and Hulu, and there's a ton of just cheap garbage horror stuff yeah. on Netflix and Hulu. It's like, who's watching Leprechaun 6? Who? Like, but somebody, I guess somebody made that movie. But yeah, I think that stress is addicting. And I think for me, one important thing, one reason why I played this game is it's sci-fi horror. And obviously I love the franchise too, but sci-fi horror to me, I like that more than sort of the supernatural horror stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
'Cause it's cooler, I guess.
'Cause it's cooler.
Yeah.
Can you quantify that? I mean, like, break it down? Of course. Can you extrapolate?
Science fiction just has like a sleek... looking like vibe to it. It's retro. It can be retro. It can be all kinds of things that you're recognizable with. Supernatural horror is just gross. I don't know.
So what's like a supernatural horror, either game or movie that you love? Can you think of one? The movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze.
I hate that movie. Yeah, <it's not> like, I can't think of.
There's a lot of singing in this episode. I just realized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut that out good. For sure.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It's staying in.
I can't think of like too many like supernatural horror like movies or games I like. I mean, I love The Thing and like Alien. What else is there?
Yeah, I don't know. What about you, Cameron? I know you, yeah, horror is not your shtick.
Yeah. Trying to think. I mean,
Resident Evil.
Like?
It's still kind of...
Yeah, it's still pretty...
Yeah, it's science fiction-y, right? Because it's all chemicals and stuff, yeah.
But it's also like a mix of like supernatural.
Biohazard? Too. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, well, you have like the mansion. Like, that's a little bit more of a trope of like supernatural horror. Like, you have like the mansion.
Yeah,
I think, okay. I mean, Resident Evil is just like a hodgepodge of like horror. You have like the zombies and like the mutant creatures and like the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
And like the haunted-looking stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Beyond Two Souls was decent. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when sort of supernatural, sci-fi and supernatural, a movie that I always remember, I wouldn't say I like it, but it's Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah. That is a scary movie.
Yeah.
I saw that when I was way too young.
Yeah,
I'm sure too. There's going to be plenty of listeners who are like horror fans who are like, how dare you not mention all these great examples, but I'm sorry. We're like plebeians when it comes to...
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't use that word. We're like...
Why?
I don't know what it means. We're like peons when it comes to...
Peons, I'm surprised you know what that is. I think it's like commoner.
Yeah, peasants when it comes to horror. But we do love this game a lot. So because we love it so much, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about our experiences with the game personally, our favorite moments with it. I will start right off the bat by saying that scene where you go up to an elevator to reach the next area. You haven't really seen the alien yet, but it just killed this dude that you were with. So you're like, as you're running, you get to the elevator and you hit the button, and instead of it being a nice ping, you know, it's like, wah, 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 and all these like sirens go off, lights start flashing, and the music just starts like raising to this amazing crescendo that never happens. It just keeps getting more and more intense. And then you just hear like the sound of like drums or thumping, and you're like, where is this thing? And I backed up into a corner and like ducked and hid and like just sat there and couldn't, just kept looking around in the shadows, couldn't see where it was. And then as soon as the elevator doors opened, I like ran in there, pushed the button like as fast as I could. I thought that was such a great moment of what this game could accomplish with so little, with darkness and music and a siren. You know, it didn't even have to show me the creature. It didn't even have to give me really an objective other than you're going to sit here and wait for a minute for this elevator. And not die. Yeah. So, but what are some of your guys' favorite experiences or maybe scariest moments in the game for you?
I don't know about scariest, but one of my favorite was when I, because I played it at your house first, and then I wiped the floor with you guys
when we
did our runs, so that was pretty fun.
Wait, did you? So, I don't remember this. Oh. You're going to have to explain it.
I remember that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't remember it.
yeah, we were playing other games. Why was I here?
I don't know. You just showed up, like, drunk on the doorstep.
You're like, hey, why don't you play Alien Isolation?
Yeah, he's like, the worst night I ever weathered. And I was like, well, come inside and warm yourself by the fire.
Yeah. So we were playing. Yeah, you wanted me to try out the game, and Mondo was here, and and your brother was here.
Yeah, and I do remember that you were reticent to try it because you're like, I don't like horror games.
Right.
I was like, well, you have to borrow this one and play it
yes.
and just have a taste right now
and
of the delicious stress.
Yeah. So that was my introduction to this. And then, you know, we're playing in the dark and, and then I just mopped the floor with you guys, I think.
So what is the mopping the floor, though? I don't remember
that. You don't remember that? Okay.
No, okay.
Well, let me remind you.
Yeah, because I forget everything that doesn't match up against my arrogance.
Yeah.
So
it's so true.
It's true.
I've known him for 10 years.
I've only got so much space in my head, and I'm not going to remember humiliating memories.
That's
come
true.
On.
Yeah, so we're just passing the controller around and seeing how far we can get before we got killed inevitably by the alien. And so I got, like, the furthest.
I remember.
Yeah.
So. But that's because you have, like, literal calluses on your finger that match the PS4 controller.
Right.
So
mine's like, this thumb is, like, Nintendo. This thumb over here is PlayStation.
This thumb is, you have, like, a Nintendo
My index
thumb?
Finger's, like, a 3DS shoulder pad.
Is the Nintendo thumb, like, a baby thumb?
Yeah.
Like, a small thumb. That's stupid. Man.
Yeah. So, no. Beyond that, this is one of the games I can't remember too many, like, moments. I just have a bad memory. And then I think I was playing it when I was, in, like, beyond that point, when it was hard to get a lot done. And I remember just one of the, like, the parts that I enjoyed the most was less the horror part and more of, like, when you're, you know, out in space or, you know, on a planet or whatever. It was just, from a sci-fi perspective, really cool imagery.
Like seeing like Jupiter in the, it was Jupiter, right?
Yeah.
Seeing like Jupiter in the background.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, it's right there.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And then the God rays from the sun and just going, and then near the end when you, out in space, in your spacesuit, there's a part, where you're, I can't remember narrative wise where it was, but you know, you're like the places you, I think you lose gravity, and then there's fire everywhere, and just the beauty of that, you know, the lighting from the fire and the god rays from the sun, and then it was a cool moment. So, but other than that, I mean, like, you know, I remember vividly the, you know, coming in contact with some of those androids, just the weird behaviors that they had,
and when they start glitching out,
yeah,
like, how can I be of assistance, and they're like choking you, and you're like, stop choking me,
yeah, and then how they awkwardly just walk really fast to you, you know, it's, you know, that was a little unnerving. So yeah,
they're straight up Uncanny Valley.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a mannequin like that. Like I said at the beginning, I hate mannequins. Mm-hmm. And they're terrifying to me.
Yeah,
but what about you, Armando?
There's a few I thought of right now as Kanbam was explaining.
Is that a timely fact?
Yeah.
Like, timely fact?
That needs to be so. There's like a jangle for it. Timely fact.
Ooh. It's actually really good.
There it is. I used to work in radio. Like inside a little radio.
When in the 40s?
No, when I was like 2 inches tall.
Oh, okay. Anyways.
Another story.
But... some of my favorite moments are like, I feel like the moments where I got like cheated almost, where it's like, I remember one moment where I was like at one of the phone booths, and like I got to it and I was about to save, and like I peeked like behind there was like an open door, and like I peeked past the open door, and like I just saw it walking. I'm like, I'm trying to put, I just put in the thing real quick, like my card into the phone, and I'm like, come on, come on, come on, and then the thing just comes like right around the corner and just like gets me like from the phone booth, like pulled me from the phone booth
as
like,
you were saving
as before, like as it, I inserted it and like it wanted to move in, transition into the saving mode. I did that, I tried doing that, and like it just comes around the corner and just like pulled me from the phone booth.
I suppose that would have been too it would have removed you from the experience if the alien waited for you to save.
Yeah, it was like, and when that happened, like, I didn't know that can happen. I thought like I would just like entered into like the process of saving, but like no, it's like it could totally just pull you from a phone booth. Another moment is like when I was just like in a locker, like holding my breath as far as I can, and it was like in front of the locker for like a minute, like, just like looking at it. I'm like, when are you gonna like turn around? And like it finally like turned around, and I just like, okay, like I breathed. And then, what's it called? Oh, this was actually the one moment I used the PS4 thing. The
microphone?
Yeah, I tried it. And, like, that's the one moment I used it. And, like, when it was like, holy, I'm like, what? That's why, like, I hardly ever use it. Like, I didn't want to use it, like, anymore after that. Like, I think, probably the only time I use it.
Actually. Yeah, play the game on nightmare mode.
With that.
With that.
No.
And if you beat that, you're, like, the ultimate human being.
Yeah, and then so I just tried, and then, like, I, like,
gasp.
It turns around and just, like, pulls me out of the locker.
Oh. Yeah. So what I thought you were going to say is that it waited for you to get out. Like it walked away to make you think it was walking away. Because I feel like there were times when I was like, it just tricked me.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think that, like, it fainted, you know? Like, it made me think that, oh, it would jump up into a duct and then come right back down.
Yeah.
And just be like, I thought you were leaving, and now I'm dead. Yeah.
The last one, the last moment that I loved a lot that I'll mention is when one of the working Joes walks up to the Xenomorph, and, like, they have an interaction where, like the Xenomorph's just, like, looking at it, and then the working just like, what are you? And, like, he's just, like, looking at it, and they don't, like, do anything to each other. They just, like, keep walking by because, like, the working Joe's just, like, a
working
an Joe. Android. So, like, the alien's not going to kill it. And then I don't know why he didn't do anything to it either. I think, like, he's just, like, perplexed as to what it is. And, like, I'm, like, that's, like, the first time they, like, interact. I'm, like, that was great. So just watch it from, like, this cabinet that I'm inside.
In a cardboard box.
Oh, Metal Gear Solid reference.
That would make a great crossover.
What?
Metal Gear Solid.
In first person?
With a Xenomorph in it.
Oh.
Yeah, like Solid Snake, like, okay, today I've got to escape this silicon-based life form.
Make it happen, Sega.
Yeah.
20th Century Fox.
Yeah. I guess, right?
They got bought off by, like, Disney.
Make it happen, Disney. All right, so to close this out, this shindig that we've all been a part of right now, this horror story.
4 hours.
For 4 hours. I've been here for so So I'm going to ask, can you recommend this game? And also, what are some similar games to it? So I'm going to steal Cameron's because I know he's going to Well, that's not fair.
No, let's go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do it. That's now. Fine. I'm all embarrassed. I'm like shy. Go ahead, Cameron. You go first.
Oh.
So would you recommend the game, first of all? We'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, if for a survival horror game, definitely it shines as one of the best examples of survival horror genre. So if you're into that, definitely.
And then similar games. This is going to be the hard one.
Yeah, it is going to be hard.
It's a lot of games. Are you being sarcastic?
No, I mean, like, because it has to be games that he can vouch for. Oh, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
I made a list. But anyways,
you made a list.
That's games that I can think of, but I've never played.
Ah, that was so. Yeah, that was good on you. So, are you going to consult your phone?
I'm going to probably have to. Okay. I can't even recall.
Okay, then I'm going to take The Last of Us. Just in terms of the stealth similarities and a lot of the sense of atmosphere stuff. That's certainly much more of an emotional experience than Alien Isolation.
Yeah, Alien Isolation.
Excuse you.
For the story.
Yeah, go ahead. Can you start off?
What?
I just like interrupting you for no reason. Go ahead.
Yeah, because Alien Isolation, I mean, not a whole lot of, like, story-based kind of...
No, it's just, like, run the entire
thing. Yeah, no, it's definitely, like, the experience. But, yeah, for Last of Us, it definitely has, like, that story and characters, emotional core. You know, that kind of stuff. If you're into that.
Okay. And since you love talking so much, what about you, Armando? So, would you recommend this game?
Yes, absolutely. I think it stands up there with, like... A lot of survival horror games. I mean, I haven't played too many, but like I know like a lot of people that are into that like this game a lot just because of the stress. And but some games that I could recommend that I can think of, like I've never played Resident Evil 7, but they like, you know, they have that first person kind of thing and
going on, yeah.
And sneaking around.
That's an ugly game.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 7?
Yeah,
it looks like I mean, you know, technically it has like impressive graphics, but still, like, I think some of the lighting in like Resident Evil 7 looks really off to me. I don't know.
Well, these are my recommendations. So.
Yeah. Well, I screw your recommendation. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
that game Outlast kind of feels like it. That one's pretty like just.
Have you played that?
Grotesque. No, like I've watched playthroughs of it though.
Okay.
And it looks pretty like grotesque and like terrifying. It's just like a bunch of like abominations like just trying to kill you in like an asylum. So yeah, there's that.
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I recommend Arkham Asylum. You know what? Arkham Asylum has a lot of good atmosphere too.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Because when you said Asylum, I was just like, dude, Arkham Asylum and Alien Isolation share a lot of similarities.
Yeah,
and Arkham Asylum feels like a survival game.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it does. Yeah. So yeah, there's games like that. You know, Metal Gear Solid. If you like the stealth aspect, obviously.
Yeah. What you got, Cameron? You got anything?
I'm going to need just another second. I got one.
That's fine. Hey, if you got one, then that's good. One is plenty.
All right.
Armando cheated because he took my Arkham Asylum reference.
Yeah.
And claimed it as his own.
Oh, okay. Copyright infringement in the middle of a podcast.
I had it written down here, too.
Did you?
No.
Oh.
But I could have.
Yeah, so I gave up The Last of Us, and then the Metal Gear, that makes sense. That would be fit. That could fit kind of in there, at least loosely. But one that's more obscure and that fits within the genre pretty well is Galerians. I don't know if you heard of that one.
Mm, no.
Yeah, it's a PS1 game. Was it PS1? Yeah,
I think because
there was a follow-up, and I think that was PS2, but that one I enjoyed a lot. Yeah, I actually didn't get to beat the whole game because I think I bought it used, and the disc just it wouldn't let me go past it a certain part. But that was a really, really cool game, the one that I always wanted to go back to, but never did.
Yeah, Galerians is a 1999 survival horror video game developed by Polygon Magic for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I have not heard of this game.
Yeah.
I know 16-bit dad on Twitter, shout out daddy, would really appreciate this game. He likes PS1 and the dude is all about survival horror.
Oh yeah.
looking at that, that reminds me of Parasite Eve.
Yeah.
Which is survival horror-ish.
Yeah. Know? No, it is. Yeah.
It's like a survival horror RPG.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say too similar to Alien ISO, but
no.
Other than
like,
that.
Like good survival horror games that you could think of. Like,
yeah.
Pretty really. Like Silent Hill, maybe.
Oh, have you played Silent Hill?
I tried.
Yeah. I played a demo.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm done. What you got?
PT.
Oh, yeah.
PT.
If you can still have access to it.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Can't download it anymore.
Yes. PT is a was a demo. Like, yeah, it's kind of a demo of the upcoming Silent Hills.
This screenshot right here.
Oh, you looked it up.
It's like, I don't want it's like.
So this is
the apparition of a pregnant woman standing in a dimly lit hallway.
Like, yeah, I didn't get very far in that, but it was a short kind of like a PT stands for playable trailer, I believe.
Playable teaser.
Teaser. Close enough. Playable teaser. All right. Yeah. And then by Hideo Kojima on the canceled Silent Hills game.
Yeah, look at this. Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro.
Yep.
That's like...
It's a fun pairing.
Yeah, it's a fun pairing.
So, yeah, that's one that'll live in infamy for sure.
Yeah, no, it looks like if you played it, you would never go to sleep again.
I tried playing through it, so it was.
Have you guys? Okay, final question: have you guys ever seen anything that kept you awake, like almost all night? For me, it was The Ring. I watched The Ring. And I literally had to watch Looney Tunes the rest of the night. I could not go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I slept in front of a TV in the living room. Mm-hmm. So I was like, not sleeping at night.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a certain, especially when it gets into some of the supernatural horror stuff, that because my imagination just runs wild, I can't ungrip myself from certain things that, that really, you know, hit me, some haunting things, you know, so it might, and you know, no matter how logically I know it's not real or, you know, there's no danger or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just my imagination can't
perfect
let go.
Irrational fear.
Yeah. So, and then it, you know, it keeps me up. Yeah. All night. Yeah. So, I mean, there was, and you know, it was a cheesy, I guess, movie, but, well, I don't know. Maybe it was good for, it was White Noise. That's the one that comes to mind. The one that I mentioned earlier. What was it?
One with the deaf, not deaf, the sound
based one. Yeah. Well, okay. So now that one actually didn't bother me at all. So that goes into like more of the suspense horror, which doesn't bother me at all. It's more of, yeah, that imaginative sci-fi horror, usually sci-fi. I just mentioned earlier, Event Horizon. Yeah,
oh,
so
yeah.
That was one for sure.
That was just disturbing.
Yeah,
it's you know, there's like disturbing imagery in that. Like,
yeah, so
gross.
That kind that has really disturbing or surreal imagery, you know, that can get to me.
Yeah,
where it just keeps me up.
Yeah, and you're like, no, now I'm thinking about Sam Neill, his face all like cut up. You know, like
the
guy from Jurassic Park, but as the guy from Event Horizon. What about you, Armando, to close this out?
What kept me up at night?
Yeah.
Anything? I don't know why, but when I was like an early teenager, I would be watching YouTube videos a lot. And there was like a lot that would trick you. And it was like jump scare videos.
Like Rickroll?
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, like there used to be a lot of that back in the day where you just like click on a video. It's like, I'll try to find like the lamp in the room. I'm like, okay. And you're all closed in and...
Oh, yeah, the zombie jump scare. Yeah.
And, like, I would not go to sleep for the...
So, creepypasta ever get you? No? Yeah, creepypasta is, like, a cheap...
That's lame.
That's like, the chow mein of horror.
Just the killer. Those things are never scary.
Yeah.
Never.
All right. So, thank you guys for joining me on this. It'd probably be the tertiary episode of MageCast, I think. And hopefully we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of MageCast as much as I did. If so, please follow, subscribe, share, and leave us a review to help us reach a wider audience. If you enjoy our work, please consider supporting us and our vision for the future of gaming conversations through patreon.com/thewellreadmage. Special thanks to my magely colleague, Brent Mead, for sound editing. The MageCast theme song, Post Atmosphere, was composed by fellow mage Russell Gordon and can be found on his YouTube and SoundCloud. This episode may be over, but the legend will live on, passed down by the dwarves, the elves, and the dragons.